Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Get the scuttlebutt on your favorite team, The Fan, on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
Good morning, good morning.
Honestly, I just fell ill during the break watching Cal Raleigh hit his second home run. Earlier in the show, I said Cal Raleigh hit 59 home runs. He's going to get 60. I didn't mean in the same game. I didn't mean tonight. So Judge has a two-homer game. And Cal Raleigh matches him with a two-homer game in the same night.
I really don't want him to break Judge's record.
And how is he not gonna? They pitch to him. They literally serve him meatballs up in the middle of the plate like he's not Cal Raleigh.
Why doesn't he have more respect?
They don't know who he is.
You have to respect this guy at this point.
The pitchers forget. They don't know. They're not familiar with him. He just came on the scene. He's not a household name like Judge. Judge gets intentionally walked. I was telling you before.
Yep.
Judge has more intentional walks this year than whole teams combined.
Yeah, I think if he breaks Judge's record, it's going to be hard to not give him the MVP.
They're going to give it to him.
Even though, you know, you want to talk about every single analytical stat that Judge is beating Raleigh in. But it comes down to a vote. It comes down to storylines.
He won the home run derby this year. They played into that with his brother and his dad. The Mariners are winning the division for the first time in whenever. You know, I understand what's happening here. Judgy, if you're in the whip, you should be home by now. But if somebody is in the whip that talks to Judge, tell Judge I said, don't worry about the MVP, bro. They already stole one from you with Altuve. They're about to steal another. Go get the World Series piece of metal and then maybe even the World Series MVP. It'll be even sweeter and better. It'll be like, whatever. Because you'll get that one. And nobody will care about Cal Raleigh and the other one. 888-808-1019.
You saying piece of metal. Just anytime I hear that Rob Manfred phrase,
it doesn't matter how
many years it's been. When Rob Manfred said that the trophy is just a piece of metal as his way of saying that his punishment for the Astros was justifiable and enough, it pisses me off all these years later. It doesn't matter that it's been this many years, and they've won since, and a lot of those guys are gone. When he called it a piece of metal, hard for me to forgive him about
Not
that.
Sure if he's a baseball guy. He's a businessman. It is what it is. All right, let's get back to business. 888-808-1019. We're talking about the Yankees, of course. We're talking about Jackson Dart, of course. Mm. Mets fans don't call and talk to me. They give me a break, honestly. They don't even bother. But I'll say this, Mets fans. If you go back in the Odyssey app to last night, who told you that Juan Soto was going to homer tonight? It didn't matter, but I did call it. I literally said, after Juan Soto had the ball go over his head in right field, after Juan Soto got embarrassed, after Juan Soto, everybody memed him and made fun of him on Twitter and Instagram, I'm like, he's going to return tomorrow and he's going to hit one out, and he did. So, ding. 1 point for me calling that. I should have bet it, but I was doing other things. I was doing a lot of Ryder Cup things today.
Yeah.
Saw you at the Ryder Cup live at Rockefeller Center. That was dope. And then I was just down at the Wheelhouse for their Ryder Cup event with LA Golf and Diageo and some other folks. So, yeah, the Ryder Cup is going down as well. It's that time of year.
Yeah, there's definitely some Ryder Cup buzz right now. But, Keith, I don't know about you. All my buzz this weekend is Jackson Dart and the Giants.
No, I'm excited about the Ryder Cup. I don't get a buzz off that at all.
But I'm excited
to see him play, but yeah. I don't think it's going to go. Like that's why I keep telling Giants fans, enjoy it now. Enjoy it now because, like, I don't think it's going to go how you think it's going to go.
Keith, the bar is low. the bar. We need something. Throw us a bone here.
Yeah, if he just breaks a 30-yard run, it's going
to
be late.
Right. He's going to run a guy over and pick up a first down on a third and six.
He has to slide.
I agree with you. He's going to pick up a first down with his legs. He's going to run a guy over, and he's going to get up pounding his chest and yelling, and the MetLife crowd is going to lose their minds. And you know what? Giants fans need something to be excited about. And you know what also? The team needs that. That's how you ignite
they need the swag, the juice, the moxie, the energy, the aura that he brings.
And not just that, but the ripple effect of, hey, here's someone who can get the ball to this guy named Malik Nabers who barely got the ball last week.
Yeah, they're going to get the ball to one.
Here's someone that can do stuff with his feet, so now it opens up the running game, and you can run the option, and you have a dual-threat quarterback, which...
Cam Scataboo is RB1.
Scataboo! Yeah, absolutely, and Tracy's hurt for a little bit as well, so... The options that the Giants have this week that they didn't have last week is already an improvement even before he takes a snap.
Chris is in Bergen County on the fan. What's up, Chris?
What's going on,
Coach, tell us something, man. I know you've been watching. I know you've been looking. I know you've been thinking about what's going on.
My question to you is about Dable. Now, if you're hung on your convictions, you have a plan, you believe in your plan, what do? You stick with your plan. You don't listen to all the outside noise. You don't get influenced by the outside. Oh, but in this case, we listened to the outside noise. We didn't have a plan for Jackson Dart because we just ran backwards and said, oh, okay, everybody wants to see him.
A
right,
quarter
you know
of
what?
The way through the season? That's why I can't believe him.
I want to keep my job. So, you know what? All right. If I don't give him Jackson Dart, Mara's going to be mad at me, and I'm probably not going to have a job next year.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Instead, let me start the kid, let me screw him up, and somebody else can have him.
Right, because I'm a dead man walking anyway. I'm gone anyway.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not
going to
win anyway, so here you go.
And here's my other question to that is, now, anytime a coach takes over another team, what do we always say about year one? Oh, we'll give him year one. It wasn't his guys. They got to get settled. So what exactly happened year one here? Oh, they won. They went to the playoffs. So you know
with
what?
Gettleman's guys.
Let's not give that one to Dable. You know what? Give that to the last regime.
Coach of the year,
Look at year. Yeah. Coach of the year when every other time, if he would have crapped the bed, it would have been, oh, it's okay. It wasn't his team. But instead, we put him on a pedestal. And since then, since it has been his team, what has he done? Nothing.
Nothing right. Thanks for the call, Coach. Now we can talk about Daniel Jones, because this is where I feel like Daniel Jones comes into play. And I've been saying this. I feel like John Mara is looking at them and saying, Daniel Jones is 3-0, 70% completion percentage, scoring touchdowns. They don't punt. Daniel Jones is balling. He looks like a pretty good quarterback that I drafted 6th overall some years ago. You couldn't fix him. You wanted us to cut him. I okayed that. Now, is he the next Saquon? Is he going to lead them to the playoffs and the promised land? Like, okay, well, you traded up for this quarterback. What are we waiting on? You already burned up my money putting $10 million on Russell Wilson. You already burned up my money on Jameis Winston. You bought him here first to just sit around and pump up his teammates and be positive. I want to see this kid. It's been 5 months since you drafted him. This is who they're chanting for. I want that building to sound better on Sunday. Play the kid.
Obviously, they're playing Dart because they went 3-14. They're 3-17 since the beginning of last year. 9-28 since the beginning of 2023. 9-28. And by the way, one of those wins was the win last year against the Colts when Drew Lock started that. The Giants would have had the first overall pick.
Look
if
at
they
how far
win.
The Colts have come. Yeah.
Correct. So, first of all, let's talk about the time between Jones and Dart. I like Dart. The fact that Mara let this front office draft a quarterback was always risky to me. And here's why. NFL franchises like continuity between the GM, the coach, the quarterback. Look at Washington last year. Look at Washington 2 years ago. Yeah. 2 years ago, they were terrible. And they had a top pick, and they drafted Jaden Daniels. Granted,
started
they also
over
got,
completely.
Literally from scratch. Granted, they also got new ownership. Completely started from scratch. Then they go to the NFC Championship game last year. Letting this front office draft a quarterback, even though, by the way, this is a quarterback I fully believe in, was risky. Because now your coach has the hottest seat ever. Your GM also was on a hot seat. And now you have a quarterback that used a first-round pick on that's your quarterback of the future. What happens if they fire Dable now? Now the next coach you have says is inheriting a quarterback, and it's the same thing that Shane and Dable had to do with Jones.
It's deja vu. It's a revolving cycle.
This is what bad franchises do. You need to have continuity with all three, and that's why, to me, I kind of thought they would go bridge quarterback this year and make these guys prove it before you take your franchise quarterback.
It's year four. You have to draft a quarterback now. Like, you've passed on so many quarterbacks, and also, that's the whole thing about, hey, it's your own guy. It's the guy you wanted. Like, that was the whole thing about Daniel Jones. They inherited Daniel Jones. They didn't pick up his rookie option. They had to pay him off of that first year. They didn't want to really pay him. I don't know, man. It's a mess. I'm starting to lump Mara in instead of just blaming Shane and Dable. Mara is the consistent theme. He has overseen all of this. And when he does eventually fire these guys, I don't think he's going to make the right hire on the next guy.
By letting Shane draft Dart, you're basically giving them a window to say, hey, we're cooling down the seat. But now all of a sudden, 4 weeks in, it's not even October.
Yeah, because it was supposed to be better this year, bro. They sold everybody. They had me fooled, too. They hyped it up this year. We thought that there were some different characters in the building that were going to make the Giants better. And as we transition back into the Yankees, I think a lot of people have been saying this last week, 2 weeks, especially now that we've seen 3 weeks of Giants football and Jets football. The Yankees are always consistently good. Thank God for the New York Yankees in this city. We can depend on them to be there in October. We can depend on them to sell out. We can depend on them to have all-star players. We can depend on them to fight for the division. This year, we're dependent on them to get back to the World Series, potentially win it, and bring a parade back here. It's on the table. Like, as hard as we are on the New York Yankees, it's kind of crazy when you think about the garbage that we have surrounding us everywhere else. Let's talk to some people on the phone now. Let's go to my guy, Gary in Waterbury. What's up, Gary? You're back on the Fan.
Mr. the Cavalier.
Yeah.
I smash teeth, F your beef, no relief, I step on stage.
The girls scream like I'm Keith.
Boom, boom, yo, and foo Philly, and foo Soto. And thank God.
How about those Philadelphia Phillies?
You know I'm going to transition to the Yanks. You did a full 180 to G-Makes. And, yo, Judge is the MVP. He is the MVP.
Bro, they're going to give it to Raleigh. He's about to hit 64 home runs.
No. No. He's still the MVP. Don't even talk to me about that.
If I get a vote, obviously, but I'm telling you, they have Judge fatigue. They hate the Yankees.
No, I understand. I know.
The campaign is snubbed. On.
No, I know. He already got snubbed. Yeah. Once, but he still is. I still have faith. Fried is looking nice, and you know, Fried is looking real nice. But what faith do you have in Rodon? Game two,
I have faith in him. He's got a beard now. This is a different guy.
At least it's going to be at home.
I have faith in all of them. Thanks for the call, Gary. I would say the only guy that I have some trepidation. Because I've seen the bad, I've said this, but I don't want to. I'm trying not to be negative, yo. Like even when Big Mac came in, and shout out to Big Mac. First thing Big Mac said to me last night, he was like, "Enough of this off the ride, on the ride." He's like, "You're not off the ride. You were never off the ride." I'm like, "You're right. I was never off the ride. I was mad. I was mad at Aaron Boone. I was mad at Brian Cashman because that week I watched them pitch Devin Williams and lose three games to the Rangers and the Astros where I'm like, this is malpractice, this is sacrilegious, this is blasphemy. They put Devin Williams in front of all of us. Devin Williams is the only one that scares me that they're going to go to him in a big spot and he's going to fold. But because he's looked so good down the stretch now, even tonight, I'm like, is the old Devin Williams going to pop up on us at the like worst time possible, like the World Series this year? Like the Devin Williams, I don't want to put that evil out there, but like that's the only thing I'm worried about. I'm not worried about Rodon. I think Rodon has had his best year. I think he's learned from his past experience in the postseason last year and being a Yankee. This lineup is deep. Like there's so many guys in this lineup. I'm not even worried about Judge. If Judge is just average, just even if he is below average, there's enough guys to pick him up. So what do you fear in the postseason this year? What damns us this year? Is there anything you fear, Alex?
Okay, I'm going to give you four units of this Yankees team. You have to rank them in how much you're worried about them in October. Here are the four. The starting rotation, the bullpen, the offense, and the defense.
Oof. I'd probably put the defense at the top.
At the top?
Yeah, only because I saw it fail last year. And I know it's different, but I saw it fail last year in the World Series. I'll never go sit in that section again. I was in section 133. I'll never sit there again.
I was
seeds
there.
5 and 6.
Nightmare.
Row 5, seeds 5 and 6.
Burn it.
The defense I've seen fail. And I just saw Trent Grisham let a pop-up drop in front of him. I just saw Ryan McMahon field the ball, not throw it cleanly, and it go under Jazz's glove. Like, I don't want to throw Volpe under the bus, but like, what if in a big moment Volpe reverts back to what he was? What if Ben Rice is at first base and he can't make a scoop? I'll put the defense at the top.
And by the way, this year against Toronto and Boston, against other good teams, defense has been
can
much
Judge
worse.
Throw? Is Judge going to be able to gun somebody down from right
Jazz
field?
On double plays. How many times has he thrown it in the third row?
Bro, Jazz.
At the bag.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling Jazz. Right. Say less.
So that's
the defense, number one. Yeah.
More than the bullpen.
Yes, and the bullpen is number two, but you're starting to see their lanes. You're starting to see, okay, as long as Booney pushes the right button, the bullpen, Bednar is your closer, right? Devin Williams is your setup guy. Luke Weaver can also be a setup guy. Tim Hill is a lefty specialist. I don't know what they're going to do with Camilo Duvall. They'll figure it out. What if they add Cam Schlittler to this bullpen? Paul Blackburn, all of a sudden, I know he's not going to really be, but I don't know what he's going to be. I think the bullpen is second, and I think that they had a rough couple weeks, but they're rounding into form. Even guys like Mark Leiter Jr., I'm not so worried about the bullpen as I was. Fernando Cruz is who I was leaving out. I'm confident in Fernando Cruz to throw that splitter and get big outs.
You're much more confident in the bullpen than I am.
Bullpen is number one for you and a lot of people listening,
yeah.
I'm sure.
And you know what it also is, and this is a little unfair. When you're a reliever and your best pitch is an off-speed pitch,
yeah,
you're playing a fickle game here. You know, Fernando Cruz is scared to throw that fastball. Devin Williams' best pitch is
the airbender.
Luke Weaver's changeup looked unbelievable last night.
Yeah.
His fastball was, they were teeing off on his fastball. So getting from the starter to the relief, from the starter to Bednar, you also consider the fact that for a manager, that is the hardest part of being a manager in October. And now, hey, Aaron Boone, you're going to do it with a bullpen that is far less sure than it was last year. The chess moves that Boone's going to have to play with
we
guys
have starters
who
that can
he cannot
go six,
trust.
Seven innings. So, like, we shouldn't need to go to them that quick. What were the other ones? The hitting is last for me. I just like this lineup of Trent Grisham, Ben Rice, Cody Bellinger, Judge, Giancarlo Stanton. Even now, like Volpe and Wells figuring it out a little bit. Jazz having his best season. Ryan McMahon. Even watching his at bats tonight, I'm like, I didn't know he had this much of a strikeout rate. I didn't know it was going to be this bad. But
that's his defense is so good.
But
you
have to excuse it because he's a vacuum at third base. So what'd you say? Defense number one for me. Bullpen number one for you. So I'm going defense one. Bullpen,
yeah, I'm flip-flopping those.
Bullpen two,
and then starters and lineup.
Starting pitching. I would put last. Or if starting pitching, I would put third in order of worry, and then hitting, I would put last.
I would actually, I'd flip-flop one and two, and I'd flip-flop your three and four.
Who do you not trust, Rodon?
No, I actually trust this rotation, I think, more than the lineup.
Okay. So,
and I trust the lineup.
Who follows up? Max Fried, Rodon, who follows up after them? Who's the third starter?
I feel fine with Heal. I feel fine with Schlittler, and you just need four.
Right.
Okay. I feel fine if they want to give the ball to either one of those two guys in a game three. Of course, in the past, Rodon's emotions in big games have gotten the best of him, and
he's
screaming in the first inning strikeout and stuff. And if Fried could be anything like he was during the regular season, Keith, I saw a crazy Fried stat. Katie Sharp, our friend here on Twitter, every Yankee fan knows Katie. Pitchers in Yankees history to have a season with 19 or more wins, 5 or fewer losses, over 180 strikeouts, and a sub 2.90 ERA. Can you name them?
Nah.
Max Fried and Ron Guidry's 1978 season.
Gator. Shout out to the Gator.
Louisiana Lightning. That's rare air.
Gator definitely was with them and passed some of that mojo to him.
Absolutely.
Year.
The picture of all the lefties during spring training. You got CeCe there, Guidry. If Max Fried can be like what he was in the regular season, taking out those 8 starts in the summer.
He's a World Series champion.
World Series champion. Of course, he was dealing with blisters in the summer. He's back. What he was like in the first half of the season, that's what he has returned to in the last 6 stats. Unbelievable year, leading the MLB in wins. Come on.
888-808-1019. Let's get another call or two in. Willis in West Milford, New Jersey. You got it. You're on.
What are you talking about, Willis?
Willis. Oh, there he is.
Yeah, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm trying to figure out what is the best rotation that we can have in terms of, you know, now or in terms of
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Thanks for the call, Willis. I'm just running out of time, bro. I gave you a good amount of time. I don't know. What's the best rotation that we can have for the Yankees? We just went through it. Fried takes the ball first. That's why you go get Max Fried. Shout out to Brian Cashman. Can I do that? Am I allowed to give Brian Cashman a shout out for having a plan? Juan Soto didn't want to be a Yankee. And I told you guys this live after it. I said, I guarantee you Brian Cashman didn't want Juan Soto to actually take that money because Juan Soto would outlive Brian Cashman as a Yankee. Brian Cashman would retire before Juan Soto's 16-year, $760 million deal would be up. Brian Cashman had a plan. That night at the winter meetings, Brian Cashman went to bed. That night at the winter meetings, Hal Steinbrenner also went to bed because Brian Cashman told him we already met with Max Fried. Max Fried met with Toronto, the Blue Jays. Max Fried met with the Dead Sox. He said he don't want to go over there. He said he wants to be a Yankee. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to pivot and we're going to take this money and we're going to outbid Toronto and Boston. Yes, we'll go the extra year. I know I was like, 8 years? Whatever. It's about this first year, which we thought was going to be with Cole. So what? The next year will be with Cole. That is valuable. Rodon, who we signed for 6 years. It took 3, but here we are. Rodon was an all-star. Rodon almost got up to 20 wins. Rodon has a different look about him, a different pitch mix, a beard. I'm telling you, it's the beard. It must be the beard.
Eh.
I'm fine with that. Fear the beard. Luis Gil, the reigning rookie of the year, shut down most of this year. He's fresh. He's ready to go for this month. Cam Schlittler. Who would have thought about Cam Schlittler being what he is this year for us? They're going to use him at some point, throwing 98, 99 miles an hour. That's the guys. That's the 4 guys. And in that order, I suppose. And then you go to the bullpen. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Val in the Bronx. What's up, Dunn?
This was good, King.
In here, hanging out.
Heard you. You killing it as usual. Shout out to your guest, man. Nice energy, bro.
I appreciate it.
Pierce, man, got some things to talk to you about. But before I get into it, bro, a couple of things real quick. Yo, it ain't over until the biggest people stop singing. And my bigs refuse to stop singing, bro. You know, like, I just like the energy.
Yeah.
And you know, you mentioned something just a little while earlier. You kind of hinted to something that I mentioned to Brother Mac last night. I really want this division, bro. I started looking at it, and I realized if we get the division, it just means that the next two drop down a peg. And it could end up, like you said, the easiest or the path with least resistance, because it means that instead of having to see both Toronto and the Sox in order to get where we want to go, we have a chance to just see one of them if the two of them end up having to play each other. So that I really want the division if that kind of like – forces some of that action as well.
And Val, check me out. We know it's not over. Even today, if the season ended today, they own the tiebreaker. They're in. But news came out after the game. Shane Bieber is being pushed back to Friday. They don't know who they're pitching tonight, Thursday, in this last game where they're probably getting swept by the Red Sox. There's rumors they might have to bullpen game it. And then Saturday.
A couple of things.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, I'm listening, sir.
Yeah. Jose Barrios is an option. But, you know, the Blue Jays are in peril right now. I got to pull up the quote from John Schneider, their manager right now. We all saw, the John Boy lip reading of George Springer saying, oh, if they want to give it to the Yankees, just tell me. Like, bro, you think that this umpire is sitting on third base thinking about the Yankees winning the American League East? He's not. That shows they're in your head. That shows it's getting to you. That shows that you thought you had the division sewed up and you're failing now.
That's all good, Fizz. I'm not even concerned about that. I'm going to tell you now, getting to my points, I'm just so concerned with the present and moving forward because I'm hearing things from my team. You know, we've spoken about all the cliches over the season. You know what I'm saying? It's good to have these problems, you know, as deep as you are, let people push each other. But, you know, a couple of things on that, man, the mentals right now, the way you hear them talking, you know what I'm saying? Like each man in there, everybody's on Stanton's page right now, job not finished. You know what I mean? Like they just all about just trying to get what to get. And I like that. And the next nice thing about it, too, is I don't know how it would happen, but with Free going tonight, Rodon going tomorrow. At a time when, you know, Toronto was hitting up against Boston, it's good that we have our rotation where our best guys are going because it's going to give us a chance to do it. I really like the feel of the team right now. You know, Boone even alluded to it. You know, he said something like, you know, finally you're getting to see what I was seeing or what I was. And Susan had asked him how he feels to be here, like in the
pregame
show. Shout
out to Boone. Can we give some credit to the manager,
Absolutely.
Too? He's made some history as well. Thanks for the call, Val. Day, look up the history that Aaron Boone has made. I'm sure if you just search Twitter or Instagram. I know I heard there's some history as far as being a manager that has been to the postseason, I think.
Oh, seven out of eight seasons.
Seven out of eight seasons.
I saw that too.
And
Dave Roberts
another
was the 90 only
win
one.
Season. And here's on the converse what John Schneider, the manager of the Blue Jays, is saying. Last night he said, it feels like the sky is falling right now, but it's effing not. He used profanity in the post game. He used the F word, children.
How dare he?
He said, we've got 90 wins. We're in the playoffs. And if the season ended today, we're winning the AL East. I want them to come in and not press. I want them to play confident. He's not getting that out of his bunch at this point. They're frauds. They know that, like, they've never won anything. They do feel the sky falling. They do see Garrett Crochet out there. They do know they have Max Scherzer going against him. That's a lose-lose situation. They do know that the Yankees have the White Sox at home in their building. They do know that it's the Orioles after that. The Jays even know that they have to play the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Rays are going to look at them and say, oh, we're not trying to do you any favors. They got those young guys playing for Tampa that are going to say, hey, let's bully. Let's fight. Let's
we know what kind of manager is. Kevin Cash is. He'll have those guys
exactly.
ready.
Exactly. Exactly. So
I'm totally with Val. And I think for me, when I started to feel different about the team was that series against Boston. To me, that's when the feel started to change, and then we got even hotter this past week.
Yeah, that's when Jazz was talking about we're stepping on next. I was like, Jazz, chill, chill. All right, 888-808-1019. We got to break it down right here. It's already 12:30. I'm going to see if Day wants to stay for a little bit longer so he can talk to more of you guys on the phone. Call up. We will get to you. This show goes until 2 a.m. KM to AM returns right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
New York sports is more than a game. It's a lifestyle. WFAN is the only place where Yankees, Mets, Giants, and Jets fans come together and sound off. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always streaming on the Odyssey, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn apps.
And we're back. I'm going to let my guy Alex Day get his... you know, his last swings in here. And we're going to do a quick score update, and we're going to get back to the phone. I mean, quick score update, because I'm keeping my eye on the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks. Bottom of the 10th. It is tied up. That has implications for the Mets fans. Let's talk to some Mets fans on the Fan, and then, yeah, we'll get back to the score. We'll see how it ends. Bottom of the 10th here. There are no outs. Manfred is man on second. Will the Diamondbacks walk it off? Ross is in Bergen County. What's up, Ross?
Hey, what's up? You know, I can't even believe the send I just saw, bro. Did you see that clip they sent Rorvit, which I don't even know he was a Dodger, by the way. They sent him, Betts laced the ball to right. I don't even know why they sent him there. And the at-bat before Ohtani was swinging his stuff 50 feet away from him, man. This is like the all-time horror movie, bro. Now you got a guy at third. He's going to come in to score on a D-backs team that I was citing about 3 months ago talking about. We thought we had it nightmarishly bad. You had to see some of the ways they were losing games. And if they don't get in, which, by the way, if they don't get in, they're going to pinpoint all those games they lost. They blew like 5-run leads. They were worse than us. And the fact that they're still in it, they sold at the deadline. Naylor Suarez just clinched a playoff spot a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And the other
Merrill
league,
Kelly, they sold him off.
Kelly's another one, yeah. To a team that's been out 3 days before them, possibly. So it's crazy, man. What is there to say about us? I mean, forget it, Tong. I mean, him and Sprode is like a seesaw. Who's garbage? Who should be starting a game one versus who should be sent
they're
back
kids,
to AAA?
Bro. They're kids. They were playing in the minors. Now they got the whole franchise riding on their backs. It's not right.
Nolan McLean's a kid, too, and apparently he's supposed to be Nolan Ryan. I'm telling you, bro, watch out for him. He's going to be the last shoe to drop because nothing could ever be perfect with us, bro. I'm telling you, I can't believe he's like unanimously viewed as dominant.
Ross,
like, it's obvious he's going to fall. What happened?
Ross, how many new starting pitchers do the Mets need next year?
what was the record this year that we broke? 46? I'd say 47 next year. I have, like, 30 of those relievers.
Starting pitchers? They didn't have 46 starting pitchers.
No, I mean the total pitcher. You got to count Matis and how many.
You're talking about the bullpen games going on now.
Yeah, well,
they got Manaea coming out of the bullpen now, giving it up.
Hey, man, for that number, are you counting piggyback starters? Are we counting, like, two or three pitchers if they pitch three games per inning? Because then it might be 45.
No, Ross, I just meant opening day next year, these are your five guys compared to how you're ending it this year.
How many new starting pitchers do you need?
I'd like, honest to God, probably five. I'd say if we're being realistic, McLean's probably – a good 3-4. I give him that. He's not a one in a game one of a playoff series. I mean, he has to be this year because who else is there? But, I mean, they got to fully reset, man. We're going – the fact we went into this year with Griffin Canning and Montas, obviously, and, I mean, look at Manaea now. He felt like a safe bet. Now he's the furthest thing from it. Senga, he can't even get people out of AAA. It's beyond a nightmare, man. And this was being called a pitching lab this time last year, and rightfully so. And the magnitude that's crumbled to is beyond. I can't even think of it, bro. That's why I see people saying, like, well, why didn't we bring back Severino? Why didn't we bring back Quintana? Manaea felt like the safest of the three to bring back, and look at what he's become. So I don't even want to know what Severino would have been like if we paid him.
I think that Steve Cohen's going to step in. Thanks for the call, Ross. I think that Steve Cohen is going to step in. And I mentioned earlier how, hey, Steve was going out there giving the, you know, big $40-plus million contract to Max Scherzer, Justin Verlander, you know, bringing in Chris Bassett, should have paid DeGrom. But I think Steve Cohen is going to step in and say, hey, listen, David, it did not work your way. I have the money to blow. Let's bring in some arms. I don't know what guys are going to be free agents next year, but I think that Steve Cohen is going to have a say about this thing where he's going to say, yo, I spend the money. We got to have this rotation fortified. Let's go to Mikey in Orangeburg on the Fan next. You got it, Mike.
How you doing? It's nice to call in and say my piece here. All I'm talking about is innings pitched. At the deadline, we had a chance to get some veteran pros, guys like Merrill Kelly, guys like Zach Gallen, Charlie Morton is definitely out there. Now, I'm not sold on Morton, but it is what it is. All I'm
Mike
saying
Soroka,
is that the Mets,
I'm trying to think who else was traded.
No, but also quality innings, but starting pitching innings. The Mets needed guys that could cover a long enough run in the game so the bullpen wasn't run through. And in the end, it cost us late August, early September, the Mets went like 5-25 or whatever it was. We didn't have enough innings to pitch quality innings through the year. And I think it started with the rotation at the beginning. We had Holmes, Senga. We're relying on these guys that are only going to go like 150, 130 if you're hoping and praying. We needed one or two guys. Now, at the deadline, I thought we had a chance. And actually, the truth is, I know he's a mediocre guy, but Merrill Kelly was one of the guys I thought we could have got, and he would have went like 7 or 8 for us once a week. And I think it would have saved the bullpen. I honestly think that was the major problem with the Mets, and that's why we couldn't – there was no stopper. There was no stopper in the rotation. So now we're in the position we are in, and listen, we're going for it. In the playoffs, we might have a chance. But I thought we were missing the one guy that could go 7 or 8 innings and slow down the bullpen for the week. You know?
Thanks for the call, Mikey. Yeah, playoffs, you can't talk about going for it in the playoffs yet. You got to get there. Let's see what happened in the bottom of the 10th here. There's two outs. Bases are loaded. Still 4-4. Let's get some Yankee fans in here while we wait to see what happens if the Diamondbacks walk this off and the implications that'll have on the Mets. Ryan in Roxbury, New Jersey, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how are you? I really, I just wanted to talk about the trade deadline with McMahon and Caballero. Just how you got two really good players, or I would say two good players, but two players that have great attributes that complement this team so well. And McMahon, he hasn't hit yet, but you want to talk about a great defender at third base that kind of put our pitchers at such an ease to be like, I don't need to worry about when the ball's hit there. And what a feeling that is. And then you want to talk about Caballero. He doesn't hit great. He doesn't field great, but he does everything good. And then you base running, he's a great base runner and also a great team guy.
He gets on
and
steals.
I also think that helped Volpe because I think the competition helped Volpe, but I also now in the back of my mind, it's like, okay, if I'm not doing the job, someone else is going to come and do it. I think Volpe's a team player.
The threat of somebody else taking your job definitely lit a fire under Volpe.
People kind of get on McMahon about his hitting, but, I mean, you want to talk about a guy that is literally, I arguably say he's probably the best third baseman in the league defensively. And that's
yeah.
I think all those guys complimented what this team needed to take that extra step with where they're at now.
Great call, Ryan. Take it away, Alex Day.
I'm totally with you, Ryan. When you're talking about not maybe the biggest names, but filling needs, I'm giving Cashman an A for what he did at the trade deadline.
Oh, yeah.
And another name that Ryan there didn't even throw out was our closer, David Bednar, who allowed every reliever to move down a notch and play in a more pitch in a more comfortable role. So Bednar, I think, was the number one acquisition. The first half of the year, every Yankee fan's biggest worry when the pitcher, when the Yankees were on defense, was don't hit it to third base. Don't hit it to third base.
Or now, shortstop.
And Ryan
McMahon helps Volpe at short or Caballero at short because he covers some of that ground.
Correct. It went from the biggest negative to the biggest positive. Caballero also. And you know what? Caballero might not be the best hitter, but Caballero is a tough AB. And a lot of times Yankees, of course, you want to talk about strikeout rates and against good pitching and in the playoffs. And Caballero is a guy that could battle. And we saw that last night in that ninth inning, the way, what was that, Keith? A nine-pitch at-bat when he had the walk-off there?
He refused to lose. He was walking it off.
That was a Caballero type of at-bat. So I'm with you, Ryan. These are guys that fill holes. And yes, some of them, Duvall hasn't fully worked out yet. Bird is in the minors. They didn't ace it, but Cashman filled needs, and those guys are paying dividends right now.
Yeah, he did enough to shore up the run. I know we celebrated it like it was the greatest trade deadline ever, but now after you've had a couple months here to look at it, like, yes, he filled the gaps. He gave this team what they needed to get to the finish line. Here we are at the finish line. They have to win out the rest of the way, and they can be American League East champions again. Tony's up in Montreal on the Fan. Timber, Tony, you're back.
How you doing, Keith?
Good, good.
Keith, just a quick thing. I was watching three games today, the Yanks and Blue Jays, and obviously trying to follow the Mets to see what was happening. And the Mets were just falling apart, Keith. They were making mistakes all over the field, crazy throws, missing throws. I don't know what's going on with them. Self-imploding, but the news is Toronto media, it's not just that clip that you played on Schneider, whatever the coach's name is, the manager's name, the entire media, the Blue Jays media, having a meltdown. It's like typical Toronto. They torture their teams. They do, honestly, it's like the Maple Leafs can never win a Stanley Cup because they second guess everything that goes on. And in New York, you know, you guys are riding a wave, and the Yanks are so much in their heads. Just think about Springer talking to an ump and saying, oh, you're going to give it to the Yanks. Are you serious, man? I mean, get real.
In your home building against the Red Sox, you're thinking about this is a conspiracy. They're trying to give it to the Yankees.
And you know what? You're defeated. If you go into baseball, hockey, or any sport, and you're talking like that, you're already dead before you start the game. You're done. You're like done like last year's turkey. But I just want to say one thing about coaching and the Giants. You know, I follow a lot of sports. You had Al Arbor in the Islanders who won 4 Stanley Cups. You had Fred Shiro for Philadelphia, won 2 Stanley Cups. You had great coaches in Jersey, the guys that you love, when Brodeur was coaching. You had Scotty Bowman that won Stanley Cups in Montreal and in Detroit. You could never tell these coaches what lineups to put. You could put pressure on these guys all day long. Chicago having a great
coach. They're going to win their way. They're going to lose their way. They're going to fall on the sword, yeah.
They fall on the sword. And you know, like what you were saying, in the old days, you know, Dick Butkus and all this kind of those kind of players, you could not tell their coaches who to put on the field. And all of a sudden, okay, you guys are talking about a new young rookie that's going to come in for the Giants. But why? You brought in Russell, and now you're going to give up on him? It's like you marry somebody, after 4 months of marriage, you give up. Boom. You had a bad night. See ya. I need a new girlfriend. And you know what? When I'm listening to this, I'm like, this can't be real. Like, the pressure on these, I guess, general manager and coach must be phenomenal. But listen, bro, you should go out on your sword. You're going to go out with, this guy on this radio station telling you what? And you're absolutely right. Mara has way too much money. Why don't you just go into like Division III football somewhere in the United States in one of those small New England colleges and pick out a coach that has some, you know what? he's got some gumption to him, and he's going to put his foot down and run the program.
Tony. Thanks for the call, Tony. The Giants fans are saying, hire John Gruden. Hire somebody who's done it before.
First of all, I love Tony because the passion that people from Montreal hate Toronto. You know, Tony, I'm just picturing Tony watching the Blue Jays melt down and getting the same kind of glee. Thinking about the Maple Leafs and his Habs. And I just appreciate rivalries and especially that rivalry. As far as the Giants go, Dable was never married to Russell Wilson. So, you know, the comparison he said, this is like leaving your wife for your girlfriend. Dable was never married to Russell Wilson. This is Dable going out on his sword. Dable going out on his sword wasn't sticking with Wilson and seeing if he could make that work. This is the last card that Dable has to play. If this doesn't work for Dable, he is gone. But Dable needs to see if it works for him. And by the way, I don't think it's just the outside noise. I'm sure he's hearing it from the inside too.
Last call before we break. Carlos in Clifton, New Jersey, on the Fan again.
Hey, what's up, Keith? Hey, I kind of think that, as inept my Giants brasses, I keep thinking that this he had a plan, but it blew up. Just hear me out. I think he envisioned Dart starting day one. I got this feeling, just like Washington, they started the young kid day one. Because he's the
They said Russell Wilson was the starter day one. They didn't even let him compete.
No. Right, Keith, but hear me out. I don't think Russell Wilson was ever part of the plan. I think Andrew Thomas messed everything up. Him not being healthy, they had the pivot. No, listen to me. They already had Winston. I think they were going to go with Dart, Winston, and what's his name that they let go, and they had the pivot to get Wilson that he was still out there because Andrew Thomas was hurt. Why would you make a Dart as soon as you bench, make him number two? You had that plan all along. Wilson wasn't the guy, he was Dart. I just think that's what happened. If you think about it, and now that Thomas is getting healthy, yeah, let's get Dart in. I'm getting him in now. Now we got to go.
Thanks for the call, Carlos. I just can't put that much on a left tackle who wasn't available for much of last year and they knew wouldn't potentially be available this year. Like, they opened up training camp knowing that he wasn't able to go. I don't think that much hinged on Andrew Thomas. Brian Dable said he went back and watched thousands of plays of Russell Wilson, right? He watched thousands of plays, which was probably stupid because you really only needed to watch just those last five games of last year as a Steeler to know. Not worth the $10 million. We can do something else. All that happened here was that they finally drafted their quarterback of the future, and the future got accelerated.
Keith, I completely agree with you. First of all, of course the Giants are bad without Andrew Thomas. We've seen the numbers. In the last 20 games that Andrew Thomas hasn't played for the Giants are 3-17. Woof. All right, so let's get that out of the way. But Russell Wilson getting paid $10 million means he is part of their plan. And the plan didn't change because Andrew Thomas is hurt. Andrew Thomas has been hurt his whole career. When he's there, he's great, other than his rookie year. But Andrew Thomas has not been reliable. So, by the way, that $10 million could have gone to upgrading the offensive line. Hey, go get a great guard. Go get a great center to compete with JMS. Go get two of them. Get a swing tackle not named James Hudson.
I was about to say somebody better than James Hudson.
James Hudson was the swing tackle. Evan Neal hasn't suited up for any game yet.
Waste of space.
You could have used that $10 million and gotten two offensive linemen who you feel a lot better about and then started Jameis. I do not believe that Andrew Thomas getting hurt has completely evaporated the Russell Wilson plan. What evaporated the Russell Wilson plan was Russell Wilson sucking. That's what evaporated the Russell Wilson plan.
Not knowing where to go with the ball, not being effective, throwing the ball out of the back of the end zone. Like, how much can you watch a guy, you know, get the ball snapped and then throw it incomplete in the air, throw two interceptions? It's like the offense isn't effective with Russell Wilson. So you go to QB2, who was effective in the preseason, you prepare him, you get him ready, and you hope that he can do more because he's going to let it rip. He's going to throw the ball. He's probably going to be daring and throw the ball into some tight windows. He's also not going to just sit back and take sacks. He's going to try and run for his life, sprint out and get in green grass. And there was a play on third down where Russ got the ball batted down. It was the linebacker from, I can't think of his name. I'm blanking now. From the Chiefs that batted it down, just got his hands up. And I'm like, Russ is too short. You got a short quarterback. You can't see anything.
It was Karlaftis.
Maybe it was 50-something.
Yeah.
Bolton. It was Bolton.
Oh, yeah.
But either way, all that happened was the future became now because there's no time to wait. They waited a long time with Daniel Jones. These coaches, this regime, they don't have any time to wait. And we don't have any time left for my guy Alex Day. Crushed it. Appreciate you coming through,
Appreciate
bro.
It, Keith.
Man, tell people where they can find you, what you're doing, and just sign off however you want to sign off before we break.
AlexDay7 on Instagram, constantly posting about the Yankees, the Giants, the Rangers, Knicks, analysis, interviews, sketches. I'm from New York. I'm just like you guys. I do stuff with the Yes Network. I do stuff here with Keith. You can find me all over the place. So hopefully this is a long run here for the Yanks, and hopefully Jackson Dart goes one of those as a starter for the G-men.
Hey, there he is, New York's very own Alex Day. Keith McPherson on the Fan in New York. Let's break it down. I got 1 hour left. When we come back, I'm going to hit you with a bunch of different things, and then it's wide open mic style, whatever you want to talk about. I already see a call that popped up with Cal Raleigh. We'll get into it. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.